season and what goes well with college football events. And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. As we continue our previews of Week 6 matchups, there is a matchup here in Tuscaloosa that features, for the first time, a ranked Vanderbilt team and a ranked Alabama team for the first time in 88 years. Let me rephrase that for you guys. For the first time, Vanderbilt and Alabama both come in ranked since 1937. This is a huge matchup this weekend as we are trying to get a clearer picture on the playoff run for both teams. Stephen M. Smith of Touchdown Alabama Magazine is about to join us right after this open, and then later on we will be joined by a beat writer from Vanderbilt to preview Alabama and Vanderbilt right here on the Stingray Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out, you're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Hey, Stingray, here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. And let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah. But then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, I want to welcome you inside the Wednesday evening edition of the Stingray Show. There is a huge matchup that College Game Day is going to be a part of this weekend right here in Tuscaloosa. And hey, for the Vanderbilt Commodores, it is the first time that they have been a part of College Game Day since way back in 2008. And hey, for Alabama, this seems like deja vu all over again. If you will remember, back in 2024, last season, Alabama had a huge win over Georgia, went on the road to Nashville to take on Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt, and got embarrassed. This year, they're coming off of a huge win against Georgia, and then here comes Diego Pavia, Clark Lee, and Vanderbilt once again. And I made a quick little error when I opened the show. We are about to be joined by Stephen M. Smith, who is formerly of Touchdown Alabama Magazine. He is now a coach in Pell City, Alabama. Stephen, how are things with you as we sit here awaiting, again, Alabama and Vanderbilt?
Well, Stingray, it's crazy when you think about the job Clark Lee has done in Nashville. I mean, Vanderbilt for a long time was kind of the stepchild of the SEC. I mean, Vanderbilt at one point for a long time was just the GPA school of this conference. And now you look at Vanderbilt like they play football. They really play football. I mean, Clark Lee has come in here and you get the right quarterback out of a transfer portal to fit you in Diego Pavia. He's a little bit cocky, a little bit brash, but he backs it up with the way he plays. You go back to last year, he talked so much smack leading into that game against Alabama and Nashville. What did he do? He backed it up and set the stage for, okay, this is how you beat Alabama. You come out, you talk your junk, you back it up, and that win for Pavia, it led to Tennessee thinking, we can do it because Vanderbilt just did it. It led to Oklahoma. We can do it. Vandy did it. It led to Michigan in the bowl game. We can do it. Vandy did it. And then to open up this season, here comes Tommy Castanagas of Florida State talking his junk, taking from Pavia, backing it up, and Florida State won. So now we're back right here with Vanderbilt ranked. It's crazy. College football game day will be in Tuscaloosa for Bama Vanderbilt. That's even crazier. But we've circled our wagon back to the team and quarterback that start the conversation. Can you talk junk on Bama, back them into a corner, and then beat them? Here we go. So for Kalen DeBoer and Kane Womack, this was one they had circled because they got to avenge the loss to a team that started the spiral last year.
Steven, before we go any further, I do want to talk about you. You were the coach or one of the coaches there at Pell City. How were you guys doing in high school football this season?
Well, it's been a ride this season in 6A. I believe it's Region 6. The guys, what a phenomenal job Nick Gentry and his staff has done. You talk about Rush Probst, who was a part of this program 2023. 2024 was Coach G's first year off the interim year where Pell City went 5-5. This year, already 4-1. These guys are on fire. The city has a lot of buzz around it right now. People are really excited about it. This is not the same Pell City football program. And you can tell because Coach G, coming under Nick Saban as a player, learned a lot from Coach Saban. And even as a coach, Gentry learned a lot from guys like Bill Clark as he was on that UAB staff for a while there. So when you look at Pell City, I mean, 4-1 right now, 2-1 in the region, a big win over Coach Probst at Coosa Christian early in the year, big win over Pelham High School, big win over a top 10 Mountain Brook program where we saw our defense force with 5 turnovers, got the win 10-3, beat Huffman High School 49-7, coming off of a bye week. So this week they take on Oxford for homecoming. Crazy. 7A Oxford comes to the Pete House, Pete Rich Stadium to play Pell City. You beat Oxford, the whole city's about to jump up and down because they know, hey, we're right there in the playoff wheelhouse at this point. You take down Oxford at home. So there is so much buzz. There's a lot of excitement. We've got a bunch of kids here that they know. This game really puts you on the map when you look at college offers coming in, when you look at major college football offers coming in. So really excited right now for this weekend.
Steven, congratulations on that front.
Man, I mean, this has been fun. I mean, this has been fun for these kids. It's been fun for the staff. But most importantly, Stingray, it's been fun for these fans because Pell City, it's been a long time since they've won something significant. And G came into this program saying that we're going to build something special here culture-wise with this program. And it's really starting to happen. Like, you're seeing people in the grocery store talk about Pell City. You're seeing people in barbershops talk about this football team. You're seeing people just out and about in the city. Like, they are really behind what's going on here with this football team. So it's only a matter of time to where the donators – they start putting the money with it, right? They start giving money, giving funds to this program because, as we all know, people like being associated with a winner. And as Pell City continues to win, the money's going to come in.
All right, so we are up against our first break of the evening when we come back with Stephen M. Smith, formerly of Touchdown Alabama. We are going to dive into the matchup between Alabama and Vanderbilt. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter futures for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. East on McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway, it's a 14-minute drive. Slow on northbound Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard, it's an 8-minute drive. Southbound on Lurleen Wallace from McFarland to 15th Street, it's a 5-minute drive. Watch for construction on Highway 82. One lane is open between Sam Sutton Road and Boswell Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. My Alabama guest this evening is Stephen M. Smith, formerly of Touchdown Alabama and now currently a coach for Pell City. And Stephen, even though Alabama did beat Georgia for another time for 10 out of the last 11 years on Saturday, if you would, what are some concerns that you still have about this Alabama team with Vanderbilt looming?
I feel like this. Is there potentially another letdown is a concern? Because you go back, like you mentioned, Stingray last year, you have Georgia at Brad Denny. You come out the gate swinging. Jalen Milroe's on fire, throwing and running. I think you take a 28-0 lead in the halftime, something like that, 27 lead in the halftime. You come out in the second half, you know Kirby Smart's going to fight, and they fight. They come back to eventually take the lead on you before, you know, Milroe hits the miraculous pass there to Ryan Williams for a touchdown, and you end up, you know, winning the game, pulling it out late there at the end to beat Georgia. But then the very next week after you celebrate a win over Georgia, after Kang and DeBoer feels like he's the toast of the town, after DeBoer feels like he's on top of the world, getting the first win over Kirby Smart, what happens the next week? You go to Nashville and you get beat. You go to Nashville and you sleepwalk into Vanderbilt. You go to Nashville and you don't take the Commodore seriously. And here comes crazy Diego Pavia, who wanted this game from the word go, and he beats you right there in Nashville. So my first thought is there any kind of a letdown in coming into this Saturday? Because you know they got the same quarterback. You know they got the same head coach. You know Vanderbilt's got talent, and now they're ranked. Now they're coming in here with, we're ranked. Now we got even more of something to prove. Now we can show the entire college game day we are truly not the same Vanderbilt anymore. Do you come in Alabama and match that kind of energy from the word go? Now, the one thing I am proud of is we're starting to see less of the coach speak press conferences from Kagan DeBoer. He's getting right to the meat and potatoes. He's getting right to the point now. And I think for DeBoer, that shows growth in he understands this is the Southeastern Conference. This is a league of sharks, and I got to be one if I'm going to be at the top of the game or at least survive the waters, right? So we are now seeing DeBoer becoming more of intense and less of nice guy. So that's something that I'm proud to see there from his end. But I think the biggest thing, Stingray, is avoiding that net down for a second straight time.
And, you know, with that, I would even argue that Vanderbilt's defense is even much more improved this season. What concerns you about this Vanderbilt defense going up against Alabama? Because this Alabama offense struggled last year against Vanderbilt's defense.
I mean, Vanderbilt can be multiple. They come out in multiple looks. They're going to try to confuse you. They pressure. Boy, do they pressure. And the biggest thing is going to be Bama and the pass blocking. That's why it's big to have Jam Miller back at running back. He's your best pass blocking back to pick up those blitzes. So being able to have Jam Miller back, offensive line, got a pass rush, the point of attack. But the biggest thing for Ty Simpson is having that internal clock, get that ball out hot because they're going to try to come after him. Another thing in this game is going to be Ryan Williams. He cannot have drops. He's got 14 drops this season. That's uncharacteristic of a young man with the nickname Hollywood. You've got to catch the football. And a lot of these drops, Stingray, are Ty Simpson's putting the ball right on his hands, and he's just dropping them. And DBs are not near him. He's dropping the football. You cannot have that if you want your name in the same conversations with the Jeremiah Smiths of Ohio State, among others, these elite receivers. You've got to catch the football. I mean, Jeremy Bernard is having a strong year so far. Isaiah Horton is showing you that he was the right transition acquisition from the portal in Miami. We're even seeing Latzier Brooks, the freshman, make some plays. Ryan Williams, you were the phenom out of high school. You were the big get to come to Alabama. You had a good freshman year. You've got to build off this by continuing that success. And a lot of that is you have got to catch the football. That's number one there. I think number two for Alabama, the concern is being able to play complete games offensively. We saw last week the first half against Georgia, you're on fire with Ty Simpson. The second half, you didn't put points on the board, right? And you have to literally hang on to win. Defensively, defense got stops when it needed to, but you had to hang on to win. So I want to see Ryan Grubb and this offense have the same fire in the second half, completing drives, finishing drives, and cashing off drives.
Okay, let's talk about another glaring issue from last year, and it was Alabama's defense trying to stop Vanderbilt's offense and Diego Pavia. talk about that in this year's matchup?
It's a still concern of Stingray stopping the run game. Georgia ran the football in Alabama with Bowens and the different ways that Mike Bobo was able to strategically run the football, misdirections, jet motion, trick stuff. Georgia had over 100 yards rushing in that matchup, and that's what literally kept the Dogs in the football game, running the football. And here comes Diego Pavia, who, by the way, last year had over 100 yards rushing. Vanderbilt, who, by the way, last year had a lot of unbalanced line, a lot of unbalanced formation, a lot of misdirection looks that had Alabama's linebackers, their eyes undisciplined, their eyes out of the play. And Clark Lee is going to bring that same thing into this game. How do we get Alabama to be undisciplined? How do we get Alabama to be outside the gaps, not focus in their run fits, in their gap assignments in terms of stopping the run game? So for Kane Womack, another big matchup for him defensively is stopping this run. Get all 11 fly to the ball, but most importantly, get everybody to play gap sound, scrape over the top, stop the run at the attack point. It's going to be once again the homework assignment for Kane Womack after Georgia. You did not complete the homework assignment because they had over 100 yards rushing.
All right. So we've talked about the matchup. Now let's break it down. Stephen, how do you see it playing out? The first time Alabama and Vanderbilt face off as ranked opponents for the first time in 88 years. Who wins Saturday? Does Alabama get revenge from last year's loss to the Commodores?
I think Bama gets revenge, and I think the main reason why is last year the players took full lessons of when we are not prepared, when we do not take things seriously, we see what happens. This year's group, after the loss to Florida State, something has clicked with this group, whether it's Ty Simpson's leadership, whether it's different players on the team understanding, hey, we got to take everything seriously. And this group has come in here. They have not been overlooking Vandy. They have not been saying, oh, this is just a game we can roll in here and win. No, they've taken it all seriously. So I think because of that, they're going to come out with the right focus. They're going to come out with the right attention to detail. And I really feel like the guys up front, the TM Keenans, the London Simmons, the James Smiths, the LT Overtons, these guys up front understand, hey, we know they're going to run the football. We have got to bring the intensity to their offensive line and shut that thing down. So I feel like the attention, the focus, and most importantly, understanding, hey, this is a football game. And the reason why, we made it a football game last year by not taking it seriously. And so now it's even more of a football game because they beat us last year. Now they're ranked. Here comes College Game Day. It's even more of a football game now.
All right. And as we walk out the door, moving forward, what other SEC matchups based off the first 6 weeks of the season worry you the most where Alabama is concerned?
Oh, man. So at first, I went in thinking preseason South Carolina. The Gamecocks are struggling a bit right now under Coach Beamer. We'll see if they can get back on track. Aside from that, I look at LSU, even though they took a loss to Ole Miss. I mean, Garrett Nussmeier, still a good quarterback. That defense is still really good. LSU still got talent. So I look at the Tigers there, but I think the final one, and you always got to look at this one, even though Hugh Freeze, you lose to Oklahoma, you lose to Texas A&M, that Iron Bowl is still in Auburn. And that's still a game that you still always have to look at and go, that is still at Jordan-Hare. That matchup is still a place where anything can happen at any given time. So for me, it would be those three for different reasons.
Stephen, don't sleep on Missouri next week, though.
I was about to say that. And that's a team that's tough under Drinkwitz. That's a team that's always tough. And you go to a different Columbia, that being Columbia, Missouri, to face the Tigers. So Drinkwood's always got something up his sleeve.
Steven, look, man, good luck to your Pell City football team this weekend for homecoming. We're going to be pulling for you. Any final words before we let you get out of here?
Oh, man, looking forward to the Panthers taking on Oxford, man. That's going to be a matchup. It's one where so many schools in this area have been circling for a while right now. And looking forward to seeing how G and everybody, we all approach this matchup. We get this matchup taken care of and move on to the next week, getting ourselves set up for the 6A playoff. Because what's crazy is, Stingray, as much as people talk about 7A high school football in Alabama, 6A is the most competitive. Right. I mean, 6A is even more competitive than 7A because 6A has so many schools clumped up together that they're all good. 7A, it's literally Thompson High School and everybody else.
Yeah.
6A, anybody can take 6A. I know Clay Chalk feels great. And we took our loss to Clay Chalk, for which we had Clay, but we had the ball six times in the red zone, just couldn't score. But 6A ball is where it is right now.
Steven, look, man, as always, thank you. Go and enjoy covering Alabama Vanderbilt and enjoy your high school football game there on Friday. We will catch up with you later on.
Appreciate it, Stingray. Thank you, man.
All right. Thank you. All right, so guys, that is going to wrap up Stephen M. Smith. I really do want to thank him for joining me. He is always a very class act, and I have known him for quite a while. And, I really hate that he is no longer on the beat there at Touchdown Alabama Magazine, but I am really glad that he got into coaching, and he looks like he is enjoying doing that. When we come back on the other side of this break, I am going to be joined by a beat writer from Vanderbilt Sports Illustrated to discuss this game from the Commodore side. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show, the continuation of the Alabama and Vanderbilt preview show. We'll continue right after.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes a bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores!
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on Vanderbilt at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort, TCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people call me and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Under the big...
And we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
Is one of Alabama's longest haunts, founded in 1989 and has been running strong since then. Over a quarter mile long outdoor maze in the woods through an old junkyard through twists and turns into the darkness. If you are looking for an extreme adventure into some of the darkest areas of your mind, then this is the place for you. Due to the nature of their paths, you will be entering at your own risk. Look up Spook Trail Haunted Maze on Facebook to see what days they're going to be open. Just minutes from Birmingham and Jasper in Quinton, Alabama. And remember,
Spook Trail!
And we want to welcome you back inside the Stingray Show. We just finished up with Stephen M. Smith, formerly of Touchdown Alabama magazine, and now we are about to dive into the Vanderbilt side of this matchup on Saturday. And to do that, we are about to be joined by Joey Dwyer, who is a Vandy on SI. Joey, how are things with you as we sit here awaiting Alabama and Vanderbilt? And can Vanderbilt make it two in a row over Alabama this weekend?
Things are going well, man. Thanks for having me. This is makes the week better. Chris Lee's told me great things about the show and about you. So excited to be on. It's a big weekend for Vanderbilt. Obviously, this team has proven that they are something. I think going there and beating a top 10 team would prove to you that they're a little bit more than anybody thought. That might catapult them into the top 10. The nation will be watching. Vanderbilt's earned the spotlight at this point. It's beat South Carolina on the road, beat Virginia Tech on the road by a few scores, and has taken care of business in games that it should take care of business. But Stephen, this is the real test for this team to see kind of what it's made of. And if it loses, it's not an indictment on its season or an indicator that things will go downhill from here. But man, if you can go beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa, that's a big deal. Easier said than done, though, as you know.
Talk about last year's matchup, please.
Yeah, I mean, that was the game for Vanderbilt football, the biggest win in program history. I mean, you go to a basketball game in March and half the advertisements on the Jumbotron, you feel like, are relating in some way to Alabama and Vanderbilt beating number one Alabama. I look back at it as the perfect game for Vanderbilt football. It had everything go right. It executed nearly perfectly, and it won that game by 5 points, Stephen. And I think you look at this year's matchup, I don't think Vanderbilt has to be quite as perfect to do it. I think they're just more talented, and I think their style of play gives them a little bit more margin for error than they had this time last year. But, man, last year's was probably the best night in program history, and I think would be even a better night than if they were to win on Saturday. It was just, it felt like an endless euphoria as you walked down on the field. There was just a cloud hanging over the field, and felt like the people in the stands just would never experience anything like that again. Put a lot of guys on the map, immortalized a lot of guys. Now it's time for something new for this Vanderbilt program, though. They have higher aspirations than just pulling off an upset once in a while. They want to go to the college football playoff. They talk about winning a national championship, and if you want to do it, you go win a game like this.
Now talk, if you would, about what it means to Vanderbilt right now to be undefeated and to be ranked this far into the season, and also talk about being a part of College Game Day for the first time since 2008.
All of that is a huge deal for this program, and Clark Lee won't tell you that. Maybe he'll tell you that in the spring once this is all over. But this is a huge deal for them. As you know, this has never been the case for them, really. They've been on College Game Day once in 2008. The 2-10 year 2 years ago made you kind of feel like this thing was off the rails and maybe it would never return to the level that it is now. Now it's got the nation's eyes on it, and it's a real story, too. It's a last-to-first story, and a lot of guys on this team bet on themselves by coming to Vanderbilt, and a lot of guys didn't have a whole lot of attention before they got to Vanderbilt. They've been counted out. This group is hungry for more, but I think it's got to stop and think, man, this is, like Langston Patterson said yesterday, this is a dream kind of come true for a lot of these guys. And Stephen, they've earned it, like I mentioned. Like, their resume is good enough for them to be here. They're a top 15 team almost. They're one spot away from the top 15. I mean, it's just a testament to kind of what they've built and all the legwork that's gone in on this. Who knows what happens this weekend, but this team can say it's the second highest rated Vanderbilt team in program history. It can say it's the second team ever on College Game Day. And I think it's still looking for more. Clark Lee has talked about how they've set their goals intentionally higher than this or anything along those lines so that they don't get complacent. They aren't really internalizing this from what I can tell, but I think it matters deeply for them and kind of how they move forward as a program. If you want to be taken seriously, some of these things have to happen for you. And feels like the tide is starting to turn a little bit there in terms of them being viewed as a real serious threat in the league versus kind of the bottom feeder it's been for so long.
That's just unprecedented to think about. I mean, 5-0 nationally ranked, and we're talking about Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not a fluky 5-0 either. Like, they've taken care of business in every game. It's not like, South Carolina missed a field goal with a couple minutes left in the game, and that's why Vanderbilt won. It's Vanderbilt took it to South Carolina on the road, 131-7, blew Virginia Tech out, scored 70 points on Georgia State. Its worst game was against Utah State, and it won by 20 points. I mean, yeah, I think that kind of tells you the story there.
Now, Diego Pavia played amazing last year. He was the talk of college football, but it seems to me that he has upped his game even more. Talk about what you've seen from him from a playing standpoint of going from last year to this year.
Yeah, I think the biggest deal with Diego Pavia is not related to Diego Pavia. I think he's the same player he was a year ago. He's probably improved a little bit. The biggest deal for me is they invested heavily in the offensive line, and it's kind of an idea that Clark Lee got a few years ago from Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, where they were 4-8, and Brian Kelly brings Clark Lee in after that 4-8 year, and basically all they did all offseason was try to improve the line of scrimmage and get better there, and they did, and that was what really revitalized their program there. I look at this Vanderbilt team, and they didn't need to be revitalized, but they threw basically all their money this offseason into the offensive and defensive line. The offensive line is vastly improved, at least in terms of talent and the level of body that they have there. That's a big deal, and Diego Pavia has certainly benefited from that. And then I look at the receiver room where, Steven, he doesn't have to be Superman anymore. And I felt like last year he had to be Superman if they were going to win games. He had to make the right decision every time. He had to evade two or three defenders in the backfield if they're going to make a big play. I'm looking at Diego Pavia now, and he's got the luxury to be able to manage the game a little bit. And I don't think he had that last year to where he can distribute it on the perimeter and a guy can go get 10 yards after the catch. I don't know that they really had that a whole lot last year. And I would say that's the biggest difference in his game and his numbers, is just that he doesn't have to be Superman anymore. And he's still capable of doing it, don't get me wrong, but he can finally kind of slide back into managing the offense a little bit. And I don't know that he's ever really had that luxury throughout his career.
All right. And another thing that I am really impressed with, I just looked this up. Through the two games that Vanderbilt's had against power four opponents, this Vanderbilt defense has only given up 27 points. Talk about what you've seen on the defensive side of the football from last year to this year, because they have made incredible strides on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, first of all, those two games, I don't think they allowed a second half point in either of them. That's a big deal to me as well. I think the biggest difference now is continuity and experience. And I think a lot of people in the media will make that more than it is, but you're just seeing them fly around a little bit more and feel like they're more comfortable with the scheme and more comfortable kind of knowing what exactly it is that their role is. And I also think they have more dynamic players. I don't know that they improved a ton in terms of their personnel over the course of the year, but I just look at this defense and you've got guys who can play in the NFL on the defense. Brandon Fontenot, the star, yeah, comes to mind. Issa Wataha, who hasn't been in the lineup. I don't expect him to play on Saturday, but it's a guy who Clark Lee has tabbed as an NFL player. Martell Hyde at corner, I think, could be an NFL guy. And then CJ Hurd, the transfer from Florida Atlantic, has also become a guy who has become pretty dynamic for them. And Miles Capers had a really good start to the year. Obviously, Alabama fans probably remember him after the strip sack against Jalen Milroe last year in that game. But, man, I just think they have better players. And I think it took a while last year for them to kind of figure out what they were as a defense and maybe to even make some timely plays. They're making more timely plays this year as well on third down. So, Steven, they're just all around more dynamic and I think more comfortable within their identity and what they want to do as a, I guess, as a scheme.
Joey, we are up against our final break of the evening. When we come back on the other side of the break, we are going to dive into the matchups this weekend between Alabama and Vanderbilt. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will finish it up and get your prediction right after
this. On the Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of the Game, we're going to get you ready for Alabama Vanderbilt. We'll do that with Josh from College Football Nerds. We're going to feature Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, and we'll have a chance to talk with our professional handicapper from Las Vegas, Bruce Marshall. All starting at 2 p.m. on the Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sport.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again, at 205-799-0192 to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577. Or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. East on McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway, it's a 14-minute drive. Slow on northbound Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard, it's an 8-minute drive. Southbound on Lurline Wallace from McFarland to 15th Street, it's a 5-minute drive. Watch for construction on Highway 82. One lane is open between Sam Sutton Road and Boswell Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
The best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
back inside the Stingray Show. My guest this evening from the Vanderbilt side is Joey Dwyer from Vandy on SI. And we were talking before the break about how unprecedented this Vanderbilt run is right here, getting nationally ranked and a really solid resume of 5-0. And when we look at this matchup on Saturday versus Alabama, talk about the hype and the excitement surrounding not only the football team, but the fan base on the opportunity at hand to come into Tuscaloosa and potentially knock off Alabama.
Yeah, there's been a lot of big games in Clark Lee's tenure to this point and a lot that kind of had seasons riding on them. I'm not sure that there's any one that's bigger than this one. And I guess the only reason that it wouldn't be is because I don't think anything changes all that much if they lose. But the opportunity is just so great if they win. And I just look at it and say, man, this could really vitalize the fan base that has so long been apathetic. They've had a really hard time filling First Bank Stadium. It's getting there this year, but Saturday against Utah State, it wasn't full. You're starting to see that there is still some room to go there. I wonder how much of the fan base shows up for SEC games. Like in 2 weeks, is it all LSU fans in there, or is Vanderbilt represented in there as well?
Right.
That's something to note, but you can start to feel, and certainly you can feel this in the page views, which I enjoy. You're starting to see that people are invested and starting to buy into what Clark Lee is selling a little bit more. I think that's a big deal. And man, Steve, if they win this weekend, I think all bets are off as to where this thing could go. So there's a lot of hype, and I think for good reason at this point, until they lose and prove that maybe the hype is a little unwarranted.
All right. And we always wonder with Vanderbilt, because there always is an issue with Vanderbilt about depth. They really do well to start the season, and then later on, their depth catches up with them. Going into this football game on Saturday, how does the depth look for this Vanderbilt football team?
I think that was the story of fall camp, and that it looked better than it has in the past. And obviously, it's not Alabama-level depth or Georgia-level depth or anything along those lines. But I talked to Clark Lee in June, or I think July, and basically half the phone call was him talking about how they needed to get more depth and they needed to get deeper if they wanted to win in November. Vanderbilt's 3-13 in November in Clark Lee's tenure, and I think a lot of that can be attributed to not having enough depth and kind of wearing down as the season goes. Diego Pavia's health, another thing that I think matters as well in this case, obviously was banged up a little bit this time last year, got progressively worse as the year went on. They've done a better job protecting him and kind of keeping him out of trouble. I don't know that he's been banged up a whole lot, a little bit, I think, but still, I think they're in a good spot with that, and better on the line of scrimmage as well. Obviously, not a whole lot of game records on the second unit on the defensive line, but enough guys to be able to play and rotate and maybe keep some of the more impactful guys fresh. So I think the word would be cautiously optimistic in regard to Vanderbilt's depth, because we haven't seen it show up in November yet, and
right,
that's really one you're going to know. But right now, they're playing a lot of guys, and also, they're winning by multiple scores every game, so they're able to rest guys later in games. I think that's something that should be noted as well, although I think that can be a little bit overrated at this point in the year.
All right, going into this matchup on Saturday, you've covered Vanderbilt for 5 games so far this season. What concerns you the most that Alabama can take advantage of Vanderbilt?
The receiver room, I think, is the pretty obvious answer here. Alabama has one of the better receiver rooms in the country, maybe the best when you just stock it up based off talent. Vanderbilt's corners have a big call to answer on Saturday. Martell Height, probably not going to be able to play a whole lot of offense. Probably going to be mostly playing defense. Colby Taylor, really going to have his hands full. I think they're deeper in the cornerback room. Still waiting on real high-level talent to continue to play well there. This is their biggest test yet. They've played some good receivers, Ted Hurst from Georgia State, namely, and then Virginia Tech's got a few as well, Nick Harbor from South Carolina. This is a different level, and Langston Patterson said it yesterday. He's like, you can't simulate Ryan Williams running a post in practice. And I think it's gonna be a difficult call for them to answer on Saturday, but if they can at least slow down Alabama through the air and maybe force a turnover or two, which has been impossible against Alabama this year, we'll see what happens. But I think that's really the key. And if Vanderbilt loses this game by multiple scores, which the Vegas spread would indicate that people think it might, it's going to be because it can't control the downfield passing game that Alabama has.
Let's flip it. Where do you feel like that Vanderbilt has the advantage? And that's odd for me to say, but where do you feel like that the Vanderbilt has the advantage over Alabama?
It's an interesting question. I think what gets Vanderbilt into this game is the belief it has. Vanderbilt legitimately thinks that it can go in there and win.
Yeah.
A lot of Vanderbilt teams haven't had that in the past. I think that's a big deal. And something to note is we go into Saturday, I guess positionally, maybe the tight end room could be somewhere they take advantage. Eli Stowers, one of the better players on the field Saturday, a potential first-round pick, has quietly had a good year but really hasn't broken out yet. I wonder if he could do that against Alabama's linebacker room, which obviously has some injury trouble. Maybe that hurts Alabama. And Cole Spence, Vanderbilt's second tight end, who's been used mostly as a blocking tight end, also a really good receiver. So I think that's probably where I would look and say Vanderbilt could have an advantage. But Alabama is obviously very talented at every level, and I don't know that I would project Vanderbilt to beat it in any one area. I think it's going to be kind of a cumulative effect here if Vanderbilt's going to win. And it's also got to get some breaks on the road as well, which I think we'll find out if it can on Saturday.
Now, Joey, let me also add this as well, and Alabama fans do not want to hear this or remember this, but Georgia ran the ball on Alabama for 227 yards. What does Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt do well? Run the football. Watch out for that.
Yeah, Clark Lee's kind of motto over the years, and he's got plenty of them. He's a Don Meyer guy from Lipscomb, and Don Meyer had a ton of kind of mottos himself, so Clark Lee's kind of piggybacked off that. But Clark Lee has always said run to win, and that's what Vanderbilt wants to do. That's what Vanderbilt's going to try to establish its identity on. It's more explosive on the perimeter than it's been in the past, but it's all going to boil down to can Diego Pavia move with his legs a little bit? Can Cedric Alexander and MK Young find some holes? That's a question, and I think Alabama's going to have to be ready to maybe answer the call there a little bit as well. I do think Alabama's stronger up front than maybe it gets credit for at times, but also I think Vanderbilt's running back room has a real opportunity on Saturday to maybe change the dynamic of the game.
All right, we've discussed it. Now let's pick it. How do you see it playing out Saturday in Tuscaloosa? This Vanderbilt team comes in with the expectation that, hey, we did it last year, we can do it again. Their confidence is sky high. How do you see it, Alabama and Vanderbilt, for the first time with both teams ranked in 88 years?
It's an interesting question. I don't know that I'm comfortable betting against this Vanderbilt team yet, but also, I think we've got to see it before we believe it here. I'm going to guess Alabama wins by 7 or so, maybe one score. I think Vanderbilt's really going to give them a fight, but, man, it's so hard to go to Tuscaloosa and win, especially when Alabama is pretty clearly the more talented team. We'll see, though. I wouldn't count this Vanderbilt team out from doing anything at this point. I think they're a better team than they've been in the past. Their talent is a lot closer to Alabama's than it has been in the past. It's got to have a few things go right, and it's got to hit on a few explosive plays, maybe force a few turnovers. Then we can talk. But, Steven, for now, I'm going to guess that Alabama will probably win. But I've been wrong before about this team. I thought they would go 3-9 last year, and they went 7-6. So we'll see. Maybe I'll look stupid, but we'll go from there.
Okay, and as we walk out the door, besides Diego Pavia, who is the X factor for Vanderbilt to pull this game out?
I'd say Martell Hite. They're a three-way guy, great punt returner, one of the better punt returners in the country. It's not about that, though. It's about him playing cornerback, his natural position. If Martell Hite's going to play in the NFL, it's going to be as a cornerback, not as a wide receiver. Man, they need him to have a big game on Saturday. One of the better guys on their roster going into the year. You're guarding Alabama's receivers, though, and if they can't slow down Ryan Williams and they can't slow down Horton or Jeremy Bernard, it's going to be a rough day for Vanderbilt. Martell Hite hasn't had a great year at corner thus far, at least based off what PFF and the numbers would tell you. Time for him to step up, time for him to be a guy like Vanderbilt has known he could be for a couple months and even a couple years now.
Joey, look, man, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join me. Go and enjoy covering Alabama and Vanderbilt this weekend. Anchor down. Good luck to Vanderbilt, and we will catch up with you later on, okay?
Thanks, Matt. It was an honor. Let's do it again soon.
Okay, sounds good, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so that is going to wrap up the preview show there of Alabama and Vanderbilt. The reason that we were not able to use Chris Lee this evening, our usual Vanderbilt guy, is because he had a death in his immediate family. And so our thoughts and prayers are definitely with Chris Lee during this very difficult time. And hopefully Chris Lee can get back with us here very, very soon. But Chris, we are thinking about you, and may God bless you. So guys, that is going to wrap up another edition of the Stingray Show. When we come back on the Thursday evening edition of the Stingray Show, we are going to be previewing another big matchup in week number 6. And that is the Longhorns of Texas coming off of a bye week, going to Gainesville to take on the Gators of Florida. So that will be tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. right back here on the Stingray Show. Have a wonderful Thursday out there, and we will catch you tomorrow evening. And I cannot believe, and I'm still stunned, 5-0 Vandy, nationally ranked, and they have a legitimate shot to come in here and knock off Alabama. What times are we living?